My meemaw was a great lady. Grandma McKeel was a school teacher, and she loved kids, and she loved me. I knew that, but she had a lot of great sayings, and one that I really liked that I've kept with me all these years was, "Johnny, everybody makes you happy. Some people make you happy when you see them coming, and some people make you happy when you see them leaving, but everybody makes you happy." Could we turn the PowerPoint slides back a couple? There we are. Great guy. I'd like us to go back to Genesis chapter 12, and we'll look at verses 2 and 3 if we get those back up there. Or open up your Bibles and we can follow along. Abraham, in these days he was known as Abram. There we are. God spoke to Abraham. Hey, can you imagine what that must have been like? I mean, what, you're going about your business, maybe you're out in the field, or you wake up in the middle of the night, and God is talking to you. And what did God tell Abram? He said, "I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you." Now, at the time, Abram was just living in a city, and after that, he wandered around in the wilderness, living in a tent most of his life. "I will make you into a great nation." But notice the rest. "I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." I'd like you to underline that last phrase. Focus your mind on it. Write it on your heart this week. You will be a blessing. Excuse me. Nobody said bless you? All right, you've been reading ahead in the bulletin. The only time we really use the word blessing anymore is when somebody sneezes. And that comes back from our German ancestry, Gesundheit. And it comes back, people believe that those were demons crawling around inside your sinus cavities and you needed divine aid. And I think sometimes it feels that way. We need divine aid to get over the sniffles, right? But times have changed. We don't really use the word blessing very much anymore. What does it mean? Well, actually, in the Bible, in the New Testament, there are two words that are used for blessing. One word is to describe God. God is blessed. That word, we got our English word eulogy from it. Eulogy means to remember someone with good words. You is good, logos is words. We use good words. And so at someone's funeral, it's traditional that we read a eulogy and say good things about them. But in the Bible, only God is eulogized. Only Jesus is eulogized because He is great. What makes God so great? You ever thought about that? I think one of the biggest challenges, if not the biggest challenge that we have today in church, is people trying to understand the relevance of religion. They don't see a need, so they don't get up on Sunday morning. They don't see a need, and so they don't come to church. What's the relevance of religion? What does God mean to you? If somebody asks you that question, why? What answer do you give? God is in control. In fact, I'm going to give you five. You want to remember them on your fingers? Write them on your fingers. Rad, you can do this. Write it down on your fingers. Number one, the first blessing is that God is in control. At summertime, lots of folks are traveling, going on vacation, coming here and there, and we get on an airplane. And I talked about this in our Revelation class. That when John is called up into heaven, the first thing that he sees is a throne, and he sees the one on the throne. When you get on an airplane, are you a nervous flyer? I'm a nervous flyer. I really am. My dad was an aeronautical engineer. If it's not a Boeing airplane, I'm a little bit nervous. I was taught they weren't just quite as good as Boeing airplanes. But anyway, getting on the airplane, you know, you come, there's this, they're not stewardesses anymore, are they? They're flight attendants. The flight attendants are there, and they're always smiling and so helpful, and, you know, your seat is there. And even if you're carrying, you know, those bags that are never going to fit in the overhead bin, they're still smiling. They may be shaking their heads. But as you walk down that gangplank and you turn right to find your seat, the first thing I do is look left. And I want to see the pilot and the co-pilot in there doing, they may be doing crossword puzzles or Sudoku, but you know, if they look like they're busy and there's somebody sitting there, I'm going to relax because I know somebody is in control. It feels like our world is in chaos today. There's so many changes. What can you count on? What can you rely on? Things are changing all around us. But for Christians, we know God is in control and I can relax. It's going to be okay. That's blessing number one. Blessing number two is that I don't own anything. And you don't either. We are simply stewards of what God has given us. Let me repeat that again because sometimes we forget that. We are only stewards of the blessings that God has given us. You might say, well, now wait a minute. I worked really, really hard to earn. I saved. I scrimped. You know, this is mine. No, it actually belongs to God, and I'm going to explain to you why that's a good thing. Growing up, my dad was the president of Downey Manufacturing. After he finished working with Boeing, made hydraulic actuators and all that, he was the president of the company. And it was always fun to go into the parking lot because the vice presidents and the executives and all, they had these really nice cars. You know, they had their Beamers and their Audis and their Cadillacs, and they were there. Dad, in the president's slot, you know, president, Dad had a really old, really beat-up Toyota Corona. That was a beater car. He drove it 70 miles every day to work and 70 miles back, but he called it his therapy car. He had five kids, three daughters, you know, and the business and everything, and there was a lot of pressure. So the way that he dealt with the pressure was he would work on this silly car. I don't know, 300 million miles on it or something, you know. He was always having to work on it. And so he'd go out in the garage and work on this car. I remember one time he rebuilt the engine completely from the block up, and my little sister drove it home from church. 3 miles, the oil light came on, so she hurried home. I saw my dad weep very few times, but that was one of them. I remember the tear coming down his cheek. Now, Dad believed, though, that this car wasn't his. It was God's car. I'd like you to imagine that one day Dad is driving home in this car that he'd spent hundreds of hours working on. He loved this old car. It had taken the kids to practice and all kinds of things. We learned how to drive a stick shift on it. You know, this is the family, a special car, and he's driving through the intersection. The light is green. I mean, it has been green long enough that even Connecticut drivers would know that it was green, you know? And so he's driving through the intersection, and suddenly there is I won't use that word, in a pickup truck that just comes barreling right through the red light, slams into the side of Dad's car, spins it around, flips it upside down. Dad crawls out the window and he gets up on the street corner and he's looking at it's laying there in a pool of black blood, right? And the little wheels are still quivering, you know, and it's barely stopped moving. Now, how are you going to react to that? Reaction number one is typical American reaction. You stand there and you shake your fist at that truck driver. Didn't you? The light was red. Anybody can see it was red. It wasn't yellow. It wasn't orange. It was red, red, red. And you, look what you did to my car. You know, I can't believe it. My car is dead. You killed it. Now that's reaction number one. That's a typical American reaction, right? Dad was a Christian. Right down to his toes. He was a great elder, good man. And the Christian reaction is to crawl out of the window, stand up on the street corner and look at it and go, Lord, I don't know why you did that to your car, but I'm sure glad it's not mine. Do you see the reaction there, the difference? We are stewards. It all belongs to God. I've talked about my grandmother. I've talked about my dad. I want to talk about my mom for just a minute. Mom loved to read. I got my love of books from Mom. When she died, she had a two-car garage, and it was packed. She couldn't park the car in there. You couldn't put the lawnmower in there. It was packed with books. She loved books. When Dad died, she got a job at a used bookstore, not because she needed the money, but because she wanted first pick of all the books that came in. And they weren't just, you know, stacked like a hoarder. Mom had them all in neat banker boxes, alphabetized, organized. She ran the lending library for the church. Mom loved a good mystery, but she had an unusual habit. Before she would buy a mystery, a novel, she would always read the last three pages to make sure it turned out okay. And then she would read the book. She couldn't read a mystery unless she knew it turned out all right. See? A third blessing that we have from God is that we know in the end we win. It's going to be okay. You may be having a lousy day. It may be awful. I mean, phone calls and bills and news from the family. Horrible stuff. But you know, in the end, it's okay. Because number four, the fourth blessing that we have as Christians, is that we're not afraid to die. We know it's going to be all right. A Christian is no more afraid of death than you are of laying your head down at night on a nice fluffy pillow. Now, you can't say that for our friends and neighbors. People do not talk about death in our society unless it's vampires and werewolves, right? You've seen that before. Does anybody remember LPs, vinyl records? I know they're kind of making a comeback right now. My very first record, it was Simon and Garfunkel, Bridge Over Troubled Waters, right? Classic. And I'd saved, and I got that record, and then my little sister took the needle and just ripped and left a groove in my album, my classic. And I try to listen to the album, like a bridge over troubled waters. You know, you try to listen and just ignore the scratch, but you can't. The record is ruined. Likewise, in our society, people try to ignore death. You know, we don't talk about death, but it's coming. And so many people are unprepared. They have no idea. They can't deal with it. I remember one funeral that I was asked to officiate at. It was a tragic death. This family did not believe in God. But they felt like they needed a preacher at the funeral. Like, that's going to make a difference. I got news. You know, all I do is I get a check. The preacher saying a prayer is not going to get anybody into heaven. You are responsible for your life. But these poor brothers, four brothers, gathered around the grave of their brother. They didn't know how to deal with death. All I remember was they opened a bottle of Johnny Walker and just poured it over the grave. That's all they knew how to do. How sad, how tragic. We know that this life is just the beginning. This is the school. We are being prepared for all eternity. Death, it's just a moment when we open up our eyes and we see Jesus. We open up our eyes and there on the throne is our blessed God. We open up our eyes and there are all of the saints who've ever lived. Peter and Paul, Andrew, Mary and Martha, Abraham, Sarah. What an incredible day that is going to be. What an amazing time. Now we're not afraid of death. And then finally, we bless God not just because He's God, but for what He has done for us, we are never alone. You ever think about that? Have you ever felt lonely? Those of you in the military, maybe you were stationed far away from home. I remember being on guard duty one Christmas Eve. It's a lonely place to be. A faraway country all by yourself. Or maybe you've been alone in a crowd. Maybe there in the mall. People everywhere. And you feel so alone. Does anybody love me? Does anybody care? Well, the good news is, yes, God loves you. Many years ago, my youngest daughter, little Charlotte, was laying in bed. One of the best things about being a daddy is nighttime prayers and bedtime stories. You know, you read it with all the squeaky voices and the big bad wolf, and you just have a wonderful time with your children there at the bedside, and then you have a prayer together. I remember this particular night up in Oregon. You have very, very, very few thunderstorms in Oregon. But this night, we had, what do you call it, a gully washer, like we had yesterday morning, but there was lightning and thunder going on, and I remember the thunder boomed, and little Charlotte's eyes got so big, and she looked up at me and said, "Daddy, could you sleep with me tonight?" And she saw where I was going. "Well, okay, can I sleep with you and Mommy then?" And, you know, I smiled. I thought, this is one of those theological moments, you know? And so I sat down and I said, "Little Charlotte, you know that God loves you. And you're not alone. That God is right here with you. Even if Mommy and Daddy aren't, God is always with you." Of course, she was always the smart one. She looked up at me and says, little chin quivering, says, "I know, Daddy, but sometimes I need somebody with some skin on them." Well, we've got skin. We've got family here. We love each other. It's a blessing. Our God is blessed in so many ways, and He, in turn, blesses us. Now, did you notice the text? "I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Are you a blessing? God is blessed. God blesses us, and He expects us to be a blessing to everybody else. Do you have your sermon page? Go ahead and open it up to the center, because I'd like you to see that the blessings of Christianity are kind of revolutionary. The most famous sermon ever is the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus begins with the Beatitudes. The word beatitude means blessed. Well, what does blessing mean? This is the second word. I said there was the eulogy, that God is the only one who is eulogized, who's blessed. This is a different word. This is makarios, which means that we are a blessing. It can mean happy. And so we might look at the Beatitudes and go, well, if we do these things, then we'll be happy. That's possible. Another meaning is congratulations. And so maybe Jesus is looking at His disciples and saying, you know, congratulations, you do these things. Or it could be the priestly blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And so it could be a wish. If you do these things, may God bless you for doing that. But I'd like you to see that these are kind of upside down from what we might expect. For example, the first blessing says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Luke, who gives the same sermon, leads off in spirit. He just says, "Blessed are the poor." You ever been poor? Oh yeah, I think all of us went through that at one time. Did you feel blessed? Congratulations, I'm busted. Congratulations, I'm overdrawn at the bank. Do you feel blessed? And yet, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? Because they don't need to worry. God is in control. The truth is, the poor are blessed because they must trust in God. And we need to learn to depend on God. And so there's a blessing in that. The second one, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Boy, that doesn't feel like a blessing. I haven't sat down at the funeral for a loved one and felt blessed by that. But you are blessed because God is the one who will dry your tears. We have hope that this isn't the end, that all we can do is go out and get drunk and try to forget. God will dry our tears. Number three, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Do you feel blessed if your children are meek? We want our children to be proud. Take some pride. But the Christian view is blessed are the meek. Meek doesn't mean weak, by the way. Meek means strength under control. We want our children to be strong from the inside out. We want our children to be strong so that they're not being intimidated. That's a blessing. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. What are you hungry for? Well, about half an hour to lunchtime. You know, what are you thinking about? What do we desire? What do we need? If our priorities are right, if we hunger for righteousness, if we hunger for the right standing with God, that is the greatest blessing. Blessed are the pure in heart. Why? Because we'll see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. I don't know if you've been in that situation before, being a mediator. I have, and it doesn't feel blessed at the time, because when you stand in the middle of two warring parties, who do they turn on? You end up getting all of the flack if you're doing your job properly. You take the sting out of the situation, and those two can love each other, but they might not love you anymore. But God is a peacemaker. And when we are peacemakers, we prove ourselves to be the children of God. Well, in order to be a blessing, we've got to have faith. And that reminds me of a story when you're talking about faith. When I was a younger man, I was a really avid mountain climber. I loved mountaineering and rock climbing. I've climbed all over the world and had some terrifying experiences, which are just great, you know. But one of the things, the modern trends, is climbing without a rope. What? That means, you know, I'm going to tackle this rock face and I'm putting it all on the line. I'm living on the edge. The adrenaline rush is unbelievable. Not for me. I want the rope. If I mess up, I get a second chance. I believe in second chances, right? But a friend of mine was out climbing, and he was doing this wall by himself. No rope, anything else around him. And it was incredibly difficult, and he got to the very top. And as he's coming over the edge, it slacked off. The danger was almost past, but it was still a long way to fall, but much, much easier. And he made the mistake. Isn't that when it happens? It's not on the tough spot. On a tough spot, you really focus your attention and you do everything right. But when things begin to calm down and relax, you're not quite as vigilant. And sure enough, he slipped. And he's starting to slide down. He's getting all torn up on the rocks. And he's grabbing for anything, and he's just ripping his fingers apart. And he comes over the edge. There's a little vine maple, this little bush. And he grabs it, and he slides down the vine maple, stripping off every branch, stripping off every leaf. And he goes out over the edge of the cliff, and he's got a death grip on this little tiny plant. Little bits of dirt are starting to trickle down around. He's hanging there over all eternity. And what can he do? Every time he tries to move and climb up, that little tree begins to, he's watching the roots, it's breaking loose. And all he can do is hang there. And so in desperation began to cry out, "Can anybody hear me? Hear me. Hear me. Help! Help! Help!" Finally, his strength is almost... Can you tell this is a preacher story? Okay. Finally, as his strength is about to give out, the clouds open up. A ray of light comes down. And there's a voice from heaven that says, "Do you believe?" "I believe! I believe! I believe! I believe!" "Let go of the vine maple." "Can anybody else hear me? Hear me? Hear me?" Sometimes we need to let go and let God. The faith that launches out. Unfortunately, a lot of people have monkey bar faith. Do you remember the monkey bars? You know, you go from one to the next, but you don't let go until you got the next one, right? You're swinging and grabbing, you're just going from one to one. A lot of Christians have monkey bar faith. As long as everything's okay and God is proving that He's got me, I'll go on to the next one. What we need is the sea captain's faith. I know I've got an audience of sailors here, and you know what that's like. Where you've looked at the chart, and the chart promises you that there's an island just over the horizon. And if you have faith, and you trust your compass, and you stay on that bearing, you'll reach the island. But you can't see it. It's over the horizon. And there's this awful moment. I remember the first time it happened to me where we sail over the horizon and you watch the land drop and disappear. And there's that moment of hesitation when you scan the horizon 365 degrees and all you see is blue. Do you have faith? In the chart and in the compass, and lo and behold, right on schedule, you see the land rise out of the water, and you're there. We have a captain's faith. We believe in God. We believe that the chart, the Bible, is accurate from God. We believe that the compass that He has given is accurate, fully corrected for deviation, and we've counted for variation and all the other sailor stuff. If we are going to be a blessing, we have faith. God is blessed, and He has blessed us. And with those rich blessings, we don't just hoard them to ourselves, but we in turn bless other people. And so the challenge this week for each one of us is to be a blessing. Be the kind of person that when people see you coming, it makes them happy. Come and make it your mission this week to make other people happy. Now, you can do it in little steps. You can do it in little steps. Let somebody else go first. Wait a little bit at the stoplight to let the other car go by before you pull out in front of them. All right? The shopping center. Look for the clerk that looks sad, looks tired. Have something to say, something to bless those that we come in contact with. Because that is the blessing that comes from God. Be a blessing this week. God wants to bless you. He really, really does. But He's not going to force religion down your throat. You can continue trying to do things your own way, all by yourself, and live with the frustration, the anger, the worry, the anxiety, the concern that comes with that. Or you can let go and let God. Do you believe? If you really believe, does it make a difference in your heart? So that you want to change and let God's Holy Spirit change your life? Are you willing to confess? I'm a sinner. But I believe in Jesus. Jesus is Lord. And then are you willing to have your sins washed away in baptism to begin life new and fresh and whole? If we can help you in your spiritual walk in any way, won't you come right now as together we stand and sing.